everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Superman Sunday episode. It's also a 12 Days of the Comic Source episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about a couple of kind of fun Superman stories. They're sort of short. They're from a couple of the DC holiday specials. One from the DC Rebirth holiday special. I think it was 2015. And the other one comes from... You find it here, the DC Infinite Holiday Special, which is from February of 2007. So let's start with that one. It's called Yes, Tyrone, There Is a Santa Claus. It's written by writer Kelly Puckett. The art is by Pete Woods. Brand Anderson does the colors, and the letters are by Phil Basman. Sorry about that. So like I said, it's a pretty fun story. And I have to say Kelly Puckett is kind of channeling kind of Perry White from Superman the movie. So it kind of borrows a little bit from that sort of tone, and that it just makes it fun. Pete Woods, the artist, gives a really great kind of tongue-in-cheek cartoony feel to the story that's really great as well. So as soon as I read this one, because I read a lot of holiday DC stories recently in preparation for doing these 12 Days of the Comic Source, and as soon as I read this one, I knew, okay, I'm like, okay, I gotta talk about this one on Superman Sunday. So it starts out, we're in the newsroom at the Daily Planet. Perry White is looking at a letter, apparently, and he's very surprised by what he sees. And Clark and Lois are standing next to him. They've got shocked looks on their faces as well. And Perry gets an idea for a story. Of course, it's what he lives for. And he says, now this is what I call news. Kent, give me an editorial. I want it wise. I want it funny. I want it heartwarming. I want it to touch me, but not in a bad way. Got it? So it's definitely that fast, delivery, like the Perry White from the Superman movies, the good ones, with Christopher Reeve. And then Perry turns to Jimmy and he says, Olsen, hit the streets. I want background on this kid, what he eats, where he sleeps. I want to know his next move before he makes it, before he thinks it. Go. Lane, be a peach and get me a cup of coffee, will you, sweetheart? And Lois is like, but I'm your number one reporter. And I know it's sexist and I know it's backwards, but, sometimes it's fun to kind of, poke fun at these stereotypes. And so Perry's like, yeah, you bet you are. So doll face cream, two sugars, right? And as Jimmy and Clark actually go out to do some real work, Jimmy's looking at Clark saying, you know who this looks like a job for? And Superman says, I think I do, Jimmy. And then he looks directly at us, breaking that fourth wall. Yeah, I think I do. And he winks. And so then we switch scenes to the Fortress of Solitude. We see a bunch of wrapping paper. We see a sleigh. We see Superman in his costume, but it's a red costume, all red with a little bit of white and white fur on the collar, white fur on the cuffs. And Clark finishes the thought. Superman finishes the thought for Santa, right? This is a job for Santa. So he's created his own Superman Santa outfit. And we see him above the house of the boy who wrote the letter, and he's holding the sleigh aloft. And he looks a little silly, I have to admit, in his Superman slash Santa outfit. And he says to himself, magic time. And then as he turns his head, all of a sudden he just gets this look on his face, like, head in his hands. What? Like, what is going on now? And when we turn the page, Batman is there in a jetpack, and he's saying, pathetic. For God's sake, man, look at yourself. What are you doing out here? Superman says, I'm restoring a child's sense of wonder, teaching him that the world can be a magical place. And Batman says, yeah, well, my parents taught me a different lesson, lying in the alley, twitching. So again, the story, it's completely meant to be tongue in cheek. It's completely meant to be funny. Because if you think about it, like, whoa, Batman, my parents taught me, a different lesson by lying in the alley, twitching, the brutal, brutal line. Clark, he's kind of surprised by that, like, whoa. And then Batman's like, sorry, look, my point is you got to take yourself seriously. You're the hero. Any calamity, any disaster, any great wrong, and people look to you, they look to the sky. They want to find you. And the idea that you take a night off to play dress up for some kid, that's just silly. It's like something out of a comic book. And as Batman says that, he's staring right at us. And Clark says, yeah, I guess I do feel a little silly in this outfit, but you know, that poor kid, I just wish I could do something for him. And Batman just says, you know what? That just shows what a true hero you are. So get out there, Tiger, and save the world. And he flies off with Superman saying, you're right. Thanks, Batman. But as Batman lands and takes the Santa costume off, he's in his regular costume. And he says, you know, I suppose I should do something about that whole Middle East thing. But you know what? I should at least give him the presents, right? Like at least leave him the presents. So he scoops up all the presents. He climbs in through the kid's window. He's going to leave the presents under the tree. And as he goes into the living room, we see the mother, the father, the boy Tyrone, who clearly wrote the letter saying, you know, he needed proof there was Santa Claus, and Tyrone's sister. They're all there in the living room. And Batman is there as well, dressed in a Santa outfit himself with the bat, complete with the bat symbol on the chest and a utility belt. And Tyrone is saying, Bat Santa, you're the best. And Tyrone's little sister saying, I love you, Bat Santa. And he replies, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And Clark's jaw is just on the floor. And Batman looks over at him and winks. And on the last page, we see Superman punching Batman, and it says season's greetings. It is an Elseworlds story. I think all of the stories in this DC Infinite Holiday special that year were from the Elseworlds kind of line of stories. But it's just hilarious. It really is. So like I said, I had to talk about it. Yes, Tyrone, there is a Santa Claus. There's a Super Santa. There's a Bat Santa. There's all kinds of different iterations, but it's just so tongue-in-cheek. It's just so funny. There's just those lines that come out and grab you, like Batman talking about, you know, his parents teaching him a lesson by laying in the alley twitching. Plus the dialogue with Perry White, you know, just that staccato delivery, you know, machine gun rapid that reminds me so much of the Perry White from the movie. So yeah, just a fun tongue in cheek. Don't take it kind of too seriously. Batman, Superman story. So that's great. My other story I'm going to talk about from the DC Rebirth Holiday Special in 2016 is it's also a Superman Batman story. And I'll just kind of talk a little bit about the Superman Batman relationship. So as this is being released yesterday, I was a guest on the Let's Talk Comics YouTube show, a live YouTube show, and Dark Knight Nation and Comic Boom and I were talking about kind of the announcements and the solicitations for the comics coming from DC in March. And we're talking about what to expect and how there's all new creators and what books we're looking forward to and kind of breaking things down for the future of DC. And when we got to the Batman Superman title, which is going to be written by Jean Luen Yang, Comic Boom was talking about how important that relationship between Batman and Superman is to him and is to the DC universe. And it really is. I think that there are times where that relationship has been really good. There's other times where it seems to have been ignored. And I think it works best when they, you know, completely have their different methods and don't necessarily agree on what methods to use, but still have, you know, the utmost respect and care for each other. And I think it can't be overstated. I think it can't be overlooked. So, you know, we saw it in the story I just talked about, how kind of fun and over the top and how their different methods can put them at odds with each other. But it also shows, you know, what great friends they are. And this second story that I'm going to talk about from this DC Rebirth Holiday Special, it's called The Last Minute, from writer Tim Seeley. The art is by Ian Churchill, colors by Alex Salazzo, is a great example of how much they care for each other and how that the relationship can really work. So first of all, I have to talk about Ian Churchill's art. Ian Churchill, I wish he was on a regular monthly DC book. His art is so incredible. It's not so kind of photo or hyper realistic. It's got a little bit of a stylized feel to it, just enough to bring in a little charm to it. But I love the line work. I love the storytelling. The colors in this particular issue work really well. He does action extremely well. He does emotion and emotional impact extremely well. I think he's a really underrated artist. I don't hear enough people talking about him. And like I said, I wish he I wish he was doing more comic work so I could see it, you know, whether it was DC or Marvel or an independent, I would buy, you know, whatever the guy's doing. So anyway, let's get to the story itself. We're in Quito, Ecuador. There, Christmas Eve is known as Noche Buena. Translated simply, it charmingly means good night. And the good night has been interrupted there by this rainbow monster, which has unexpectedly rose from a volcano in the nearby Andes Mountains. And Superman and Batman are there to sort of save the day. Batman's doing crowd control, telling everybody to stay back, while Superman basically exhausts all the energy that the creature has, with Batman saying, just follow my instructions, Superman. Just keep coaxing the creature to use up all his energy. And once he has, Superman's able to knock him out. And so Superman, he's like, thanks, Batman. You know, thanks for the help. These people certainly didn't let a thing like a monster invasion stop them from shopping, though, did they? And we see them kind of gathering up these colored rocks that the creature has been smashed into by Superman. And Batman says, of course not. They've all got to get ready for the big Cena de Noche Buena. There are still presents and food to buy. And Superman says, oh my God. Batman says, what? You know, he's worried it's some sort of disaster, but it's not that sort of disaster. It's more of a fatherly disaster, something a lot of us last minute Christmas shoppers can relate to. He says, I just realized I didn't get John's present yet. He wants one of those monkey monster interactive video game things. And Bruce says, oh, yeah, I'm familiar. It's the most in-demand toy of the season. Damien wants one, too. And, you know, stores are going to be closing pretty soon, so you better hurry. And even as the word hurry leaves Superman's mouth, or Batman's mouth, rather, Superman's already off like a shot, flying away. And we cut to Hamilton, Kansas, home of the Smith Farm, which is, you know, actually Smith being the name that the Lois and Clark from pre-Flashpoint used when they came over to the post-Flashpoint, the New 52 universe. And, you know, we see John Smith there, Jonathan Kent, who, you know, at this point is still a young boy. And he's talking on the phone to Damien, and he's saying, I'm guessing my dad's off saving the world with your dad. I'm just hanging out in the house. What are you up to? And Damien says, I'm defending Gotham from an onslaught of brightly colored cretins. And we see Damien's out fighting crime. And he also goes on to say, I'm kind of resisting the urge to make this their last Christmas. And this is the much more intense Damien before John Kent, and hanging out with John Kent has really had a chance to mellow him out. And I admit to not caring that much about Damien and not caring that much for the character, but going back and reading a story from 3 years ago with Damien, it does make me realize how far DC has brought him and kind of mellowed him out. You know, he still has his edge. That's what makes him Damien, but he's not as annoying to me as he is in these type of stories. So it was just not as arrogant. So John responds to that by saying, oh, geez, do you ever wish we could just be like normal kids and like play? And the scene shifts, and Superman is on his quest to find this video game that John Kent wants. He gets to Tulsa, Oklahoma, but unfortunately, an old woman has got the last video game system there at the last minute. She kind of sticks her tongue out at Clark and says, you know, you got to get up pretty early in the morning to beat me, suckers. So, you know, Superman, he heads out to the next location to try to find it. But he keeps getting interrupted. You know, he keeps having to actually fight supervillains and stuff. And he's thinking about, oh, man, how can I get what I need to get when all these attacks keep happening? One attack with the Winter Wasp happens right outside the toy store that he's about to change it into Clark and go into so he can get the gift for his son. So as he defeats the Winter Wasp, before you can even walk in the store, he sees a couple walking out saying, can you believe we got the last one? It was just sitting there. Man, I'm a hero now. Kids are going to love this. Now I know how Superman feels. So Clark, you know, he moves on to the next place. He moves on to the next toy store, heads to Times Square, New York City. And it's the actual Monkey Monsters outlet. And he's like, man, if they don't have it here, they're not going to have it anywhere. Man behind the counter says, sorry, man, our whole last shipment went to the wrong place. Probably hijacked by Kite Man or something. But if you want to have any chance, I heard they still have some in Gotham City. So Clark immediately heads to Gotham City, and as he's literally watching the Monkey Monsters truck drive into Gotham, he's like, okay, great. I'm going to be able to get John the present he wants. all of a sudden, another distraction, another crime happening. He's got to go stop it. He's got to go stop the prankster from robbing charities. And it doesn't take too terribly long, but even those few minutes that it does take by the time he gets to the store, there's one left. And as he's reaching in for it, we see a voice off panel say, "Faster than a speeding bullet." And Damien is there. And so Damien says, "Faster than a speeding bullet, but not faster than Damien Wayne. I've been taught not to let anything get in the way of that which I desire." In other words, you snooze, you lose, Mr. Smith. So clearly, you know, Damien privy to the secret identity of Superman, and Clark is foiled again in his attempts to get John the gift that he wants. So later on that night, back at the Kent/Smith farm, it's a night for Batman and Superman to take the night off. They're enjoying a meal together, and Lois offers Bruce just one more slice of cherry pie, but Bruce says, "Nah, not if I'm ever going to slip into my leotard ever again, Lois." And what I love about this scene, you know, it's Damien and Bruce and it's the Kents, and they're all enjoying a holiday meal together, and the Kents all have matching like pajama tops on or Christmas sweaters. I guess they're Christmas sweaters. They're red with green trim, and they've got green polka dots and a big reindeer on the front. And it's just, it's kind of hokey and corny, but it's so in keeping with what they would wear, as opposed to the Waynes, who are both wearing suit jackets. Damien even has a tie on. Bruce at least is going, you know, kind of open collar at the throat, but kind of shows the contrast between the two families. Not that they, you know, not that one way is any better than the other, but I love the attention to detail there. So now that they finished dinner, Damien says, "I think it's time that we're done with the culturally mandated pretense. It's time for presents." And so, you know, John and Damien head into the living room. Lois saying, "Just one. It's Christmas Eve, so just one present. No super leaping in the house." And Clark starts to apologize to John, like, "John, you know, I really wanted to get you the present you wanted. I tried, and I'm sorry there's no." And he's tearing open his one gift, and it's Monk E Monsters. So it turns out that a video game system that Damien wanted, he actually got it to gift to his friend John Kent. And so John's, you know, super excited. He gives Damien a hug, and that Damien's kind of taken aback. He's not exactly the touchy-feely kind of kid, right? And John's saying, thank you. And Damien says, "Yes, I figured you could benefit from some strategic training." And Clark turns to Bruce and he says, "Did you know about this?" And Bruce says, "You know, I'm the world's greatest detective, but no, I did not." And he seems a little surprised as well, because he knows how much Damien wanted that video game system. So a little bit later, as the boys are inside playing the video games, Clark and Bruce are out on the porch, having a warm cup of coffee, and Bruce is getting ready to leave. He says, "Yeah, it's probably time for Damien and I to get back to Gotham. You know, patrols don't stop for Santa Claus, and it's getting kind of late. But I did want to apologize, Clark, because Damien, he sort of stole your thunder. He really should have let you give John that present." And, you know, Clark's had a chance to think about it, and he says, "You know what? Actually, Damien gave John something I couldn't, a friend, you know, a chance to feel like a normal kid." And both the fathers look through the window at their sons, and they're sitting on the couch, they're playing video games, smiles on their faces, having a good time. And Clark looks at Bruce, and Bruce looks at Clark, and they're kind of both thinking the same thing. And Clark says, "Bruce, would you like to play?" And Bruce responds, "Sure, you could benefit from some strategic training." And Clark's reply is, "Oh, it's on, Wayne." So again, I love this story because it shows the relationship between Clark and Bruce, how much they mutually respect and genuinely care about each other, and how they've passed that on to the next generation. They've passed that on to their sons. It's what was so great about the Super Sons book from Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason that everybody always raves about. It's not about the execution in the narrative in terms of them defeating villains or rising to the challenge. That the heart of that book was and always will be the relationship between John and Damien, and how it's not exactly like the relationship between their two fathers, but that it still has the same foundation. It's still built out of respect and trusting one another and having genuine feelings of affection for the other person, caring about their well-being. And, you know, this type of holiday story that's, you know, fathers and sons, the other thing that it does so expertly, besides being showing these two relationships between Damian and John and Bruce and Clark as kind of mirrors of each other,
celebrates the legacy feel of the DC universe. It's what brings the DC universe its charm and what DC fans love the most about it. We're really talking about a relationship that spans generations. You have the current generation of Batman and Superman. You have, you know, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent, and the mutual respect they have for each other. They may not always agree with each other's methods, but there's always respect there, and there's genuine affection for one another. And that same relationship has been passed on, that same level of respect and that same level of care and admiration for each other has been passed on to their sons. Damian and John exhibit that same sort of feel, and it's, their relationship isn't exactly the same. I don't mean to say that, but it's the foundation that's the same. And I think, you know, when you talk about Batman Superman stories and you talk about what that relationship is like, when the DC universe is humming along at its best and the tone is right and they're telling good stories and sales are up, it's oftentimes because they have embraced that legacy feel. And that's not to say that you need to have a certain level of continuity. I mean, it's what I worry about right now with, you know, the episode we did yesterday talking about the future of the DCU. And if you have all these people making decisions that aren't respecting the continuity, it can lead to problems. And it's not because, for me, that things aren't fitting together the way that they should, in terms of, okay, it doesn't make sense if Superman's off planet in this particular book, and then this other book he's in Metropolis, and this other book he's, you know, fighting in mid-Atlantic or something like that. Those kind of things don't make that much difference to me. When I have a problem is when the continuity causes problems with the legacy feel, because then you're removing the thing that makes the DC universe unique, the thing that brings it its charm. And it's all about the relationships and what's passed on from one generation to another. So I think if you look back at the times the DC Universe hasn't been going well, that's the mistake that they've made. And, you know, Dan Didio and Jim Lee admitted as much about the New 52 and the mistakes they made there when they rebooted everything, that they forgot in removing some continuity and trying to clean things up to respect the legacy feel, the relationships, not only between characters of one generation, but how those relationships from one generation are passed down, you know, as a legacy to their newer counterparts. And this is a perfect example of that we see in this story. So it's a great reminder for all of us during this holiday season to have care and respect and don't take the relationships we have for granted. So be sure that you take advantage of that this holiday season, regardless of if you get to see your friends and family in person. So from everybody here at the Comic Source, we wish you, you know, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, you know, whatever holiday it is you celebrate. We hope you enjoy it. We hope it's a good one. And we hope everyone's safe out there and healthy. And as always, want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.